Morning. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we love you. God, we thank you for everything you did for us, Jesus. And God, we ask you to continually just give us a revelation of what you did through your precious blood at the cross, the finished work of the cross, what was already done. You bought back our freedom, our healing, Lord God. You restored relationships by faith, Lord. And we just thank you for the treasure of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Raise your hand if you're a parent or a really awesome auntie or uncle or have ever had the privilege of babysitting. Okay? Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to celebrate some great parents that are not in the house. My parents are not here. My dad is in heaven. My mom is in Florida with her sister, living it up. And by the way, I'm doing a series on blood covenant. And I'm telling you, it has been so good for me just to dig into these things. Today's sermon, part 6, is Abraham's dream. But I have to talk about good parenting. All right. So a long time ago in a faraway place called the 90s, anyone a child of the 90s? All right. I was putting off getting my driver's permit because I was the girl that still to this day, I'm really good at focusing in social settings, but I was really afraid of hurting myself, other people on the road. I was afraid of failing. Anyone kind of wrestled with fear of failure? So I was putting off getting my driver's permit. The catch is I was oldest of 4 kids with 1 vehicle, a tank of a minivan. And my mom needed a little help, okay? So my mom warned me, and she said this. She said, listen, if you go schedule your appointment, in fact, it's not if, it's when. You need to do it now. Go schedule your appointment to get your permit. And if you don't, I am not going to drive you everywhere. And I remember, like, she was reminding me, and how many people know, you know, sometimes we blow off our parents thinking they're not going to make good on what they just told us. So I kept putting it off, and I remember the day that my friends were all going to the mall back in the day where people hung out at malls. Remember that? Remember when the Galleria was bumping? Yeah. I was so excited. My mom said this, Sherry, I told you already, I am not going to take you to the mall until you get your driver's permit. And I just was like, you know, in those moments when you're like, my parents are for real. And I knew in that moment, my mom had warned me. She had given me the terms. She had set, these are the terms of the agreement, right? And I did not meet the terms of the agreement. I was like, yeah, mom, I will. And I, you know, put it off. And I knew in that moment, my mom was not going to be, and my dad was going to have her back. It's just, they were a united front. Man, no matter how much I pushed, nagged, reminded, or I don't even know, tried to manipulate, there was no way I was getting past that. I was going to be grounded at my house while my friends are having fun. Do you know what I did the very next day? Called that DMV and set up an appointment. Because what did I learn? My parents were true to their word, right? Now listen, this is a really good example of what we use in modern day. This is the world. A contract is conditional, right? Here are my terms, right? These are the conditions of the agreement. You keep your end of the deal. The other person will keep their end of the deal. This is a contract. All right. Today we're talking about covenants, all right? And, you know, that's a human covenant. And we talked about 3 other ones. And today I'm digging into the 4th one on Abraham. The cool thing about Abraham's covenant is it addresses this one thing. All right, here's the question. Does God come through for us if we don't hold up our end of the deal perfectly? Think about this. Because look, we looked at the last 2 weeks was Abraham, or not Abraham, I'm sorry. We had looked at Adam and Eve, right? Okay? There was conditions, they weren't met. Boom, here we are, right? We looked at Noah, there were conditions, okay? This is an interesting one with Abraham, and it was like God was waiting for this moment, and he was just waiting for the right person at the age of 75. Raise your hand if you are getting close. I'll just say this. If you're within 10 years, yes, God has a recommissioning for you guys. No excuses, man. He looked for your age in the Bible, and he goes, perfect, you got some wisdom. I could really use faith and wisdom, okay? All right, here we go. Let's go into this. I'm excited about this one. All right, so we might address it next week. We'll see. But there's some reasons why God chose Abraham, all right? But first of all, God is always working to get us back to his original intention for mankind. Remember that first covenant through Adam and Eve? He wants us to get back to the garden. He wants his sons and daughters, if you put your faith in Jesus, you're his son or you're his daughter, and he wants to walk with you every day. He wants to talk with you. He just wants to hang out with his kids. That's God's original intention. And through these covenants, there's a bunch of series of them, and they're all working. And I'll tell you, this is like a key one. He's trying to get everybody back to the garden of just hanging out with the Lord, all right? So God's covenant with Abraham is one of the most important and influential revelations of Scripture, okay? It provides the key to the Old Testament. That means, you know, take some notes on this one. This will be good, okay? Key to the Old Testament, and it reaches its fulfillment in the New Testament. All right, so this word covenant, and I encourage you to listen to the series. It means a coming together in Latin, all right? And it brings two parties into a relationship. God is looking for, does he need your money? No. Okay, does he really need anything from you? He just wants to hang out, man. And when we get our heart right, everything that I have is his. And everything that he has is mine. Who gets the better end of the deal? We do. All right. So in this, it's God choosing a relationship. He initiates it, and there are binding promises that cannot be broken, okay? And through this close relationship he's bringing together in covenant comes blessing. And the greatest blessing of all is his presence. And with his presence comes what? Fullness of joy, man, healing, freedom, protection, provision. And what? The third P, positioning. He repositions us with him in heavenly places. I saved a spot for you on the front row, high above all this drama. Come sit with me while I fight your battle. That's a really good end of the deal. All right. So when he initiates his covenant, it's on his terms, right? And his terms are faith and obedience, and it's built through love and action. All right, God is always the initiator. All right, 1 John 4:19, we love him because he loved us first, right? He initiated it. All right. So why Abraham? This is just interesting, okay? God is always searching for hearts that want to connect with him. I want to connect with him. That's all he's looking for. I love this scripture. It hit me, I think, back in high school, and it stuck with me. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro over all the earth. This is the Berean Standard Bible. The eyes of the Lord are looking all over the earth to show himself strong. He's not looking for you to be strong. He wants to show himself strong for you, right? On behalf of those, now ready? This is what he's looking for. Whose hearts are fully devoted to him. I'm a mess, God. I need you. I mean, people woke up and go, I just need Jesus. I woke up definitely this morning saying I needed Jesus. And that's what he's looking for. A heart that is towards him. A heart that is devoted towards him. All right? And he looked down and he saw Abraham. And Abraham, you know what? He had a heart of faith. And that was the lightning rod. He goes, that's my guy. That's my guy, okay? So let's go in here. It all begins Genesis chapter 12. I'm going to read a couple verses in here, and we're going to really camp out in 15. 15 we're going to study. So this is chapter 12, verses 1 through 4 and verse 7. The Lord said to Abram, this is an if. Remember, like, you know, my parents, if you do this, I will do this, right? If you do this, I will do this. So there are if-then statements in the Old Testament and the New. If, there's a condition. I want you to leave your country, your people, your father's house, and go to the land I will show you. And then, remember mom's like, if, then. You do this part, here's my part. Then there's this blessing. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. All right, Amplified Classic says this. Why are we to be a blessing? This is interesting. Dispensing goods to others. Okay, the blessing of the Lord is never supposed to stop with you. That's where we kind of got it wrong back in the day. Bless me, Lord, so I can be a vessel to flow through me. So you get all the glory. Lord, all these blessings you've given me is to flow through me to someone else. And I say, man, you whip out $20 out of your pocket and you go, hey, actually, maybe might be a little more these days. Might be $40. Hey, why don't you know what? Why don't you take your kid out for lunch? Just, hey, this just was on my heart. You just go have some, you know, father-daughter bonding time. Here's $40. And, oh, no, I can't take it. No, to God. It's just for Jesus. You know, just give him a little credit, right? It just flows through us, man. All right. Thank you, Lord. All right. Here we go. So the blessing goes this, and it says, I will then bless those that bless you, And whoever curses you, whoever attacks you, whoever comes against you, whoever gossips, slanders, anybody been under those situations?
Ooh.
You don't even need to worry about it. You don't even have to defend yourself from all that stupid gossip. Even if there's a vein of truth in it, guess what? It says this. They're coming after you if they're cursing you. What? It says this. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on the earth will be blessed through you. And then it goes on to say in verse 7, I'll give you land. I mean, this is like an over-the-top blessing, right? I mean, this is nuts. This is, you didn't just get the minivan, right? I mean, I was excited if I got that minivan, the tank. I would drive up to Spring Grove High School, and I'd tell all my friends to roll out in our homecoming dresses out of our mini grant. It was like a 90s one, kind of beat up. I was just happy to have wheels, right? I mean, this isn't just getting wheels, man. He's got you. And it's so you can be a blessing towards other people. All right. I'm excited about this covenant. All right. Here we go. So, three things that God covers all the time continually with Abraham is, hey, I'm going to give you land, the land of Canaan. Now, there's a natural part of this and there's a spiritual part of this. Remember Abraham's bosom? I'm also going to bring you to a heavenly place one day, right? So there's the natural land and there's like a spiritual land, right? Number two, seed or offspring, okay? I'm going to give you kids and family, both adopted and natural, more than even the stars in the sky. It's a good picture. And the third one is this, I will have you be a blessing through your offspring through the entire world. When we represent Jesus well, he gets all the glory. All right. So God repeats these promises in Genesis 13, 15 through 17. He says, for all the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. That's where the natural area of Israel is. Man, that was God's will to restore them to their people in the land. And I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth. That means there's a lot. Anybody's house have a lot of dust besides mine? I cleaned the whole thing 2 months ago. I did it. I cleaned that, scrubbed it. I mean, behind the toilet. Like, I mean, just everything. And it's been 2 months, and it's looking a little dusty, and tomorrow's a new day. Okay, so dust is a good thing right here. Yay, you see dust, you go, hey, there's blessing. As much as there's dust out there, there's blessing. All right, there's freedom there for myself, okay? So, so that if one could count the dust of the earth, then your offspring could be counted. So every time you start beating yourself up, ladies, like I do, and you see that dust, that's what God just says, count it as a blessing. Okay, he's got you despite your dirty house. Have a home group. We're working on it. Get up and walk around the land through its length and breadth. I will give it to you. All right, so this is the covenant of Abraham. What? We got this natural land and then a spiritual land, you know, heaven, right? And we have this blessing of a family. There's natural and there's spiritual. And there's you are going to be a blessing to bless other people. It's a good deal, over the top. And he decides to make this covenant. Now, this is a verbal agreement. Now, listen, what I knew from my parents, because they were consistent to keep their word. Real talk, I'm doing a little parenting teaching in there. Record this and send this to people, okay? If you do what you say you're going to do, they're going to take you at your word, right? Be consistent. All right, so he knew through God's consistency, right? He could take God at his word. But how many people know sometimes you have doubts, right? Sometimes you're like, how? So he had a verbal agreement. How many people know back in the day, maybe 100 years ago, you could have a verbal agreement with someone? You know, the handshake? And it actually counted for something. All right? Nowadays, we're like, you get like 50 contracts, you know, a contract for the contract for the contract. So they don't break it, all right? So he had a verbal agreement with God. He had a verbal contract with God. But God is going to make this thing official. He's going to take it to the notary in Genesis 15. Okay? Now we're going to get there. So how old is Abraham when he gets this really good deal? 75 years old. Raise your hand if you're within 10 years of 75. God is recommissioning you for his glory. What? Natural, spiritual. I'm telling you, you are blessed to be a blessing. And that wisdom, I need to go to the hairdresser and get me a babysitter and, you know, get some of those wisdom hairs done. Okay? God needs your wisdom. He needs your faith. He needs your wisdom to lead the generation. So get off your bench and get in the game. It's very interesting. At the age of 75, most people are retiring-ish, if they can, right? And God's calling him on the greatest adventure of his life. It's time. Your adventure never stops. It gets recommissioned, rebranded, repackaged. Jesus wants to use you. All right. God is not an ageist, just in case you didn't know. He is not bound in time. He moves outside of time. He is not bound by your stage of life. Mine is just a sea of diapers everywhere. Sometimes I find one. I was like, where did that even come from? I step on it. I'm like, I don't know. It's diapers. God can work within the craziness of your season because he moves outside seasons. He's not bound by time. He's not bound by your age. All right. So stop using those excuses. All right. He is only looking for a heart of faith that is devoted to him. Raise your hand if you're facing Jesus. That's all he's looking for the greatest adventure of your life. And don't walk, ah, la, 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 la. I can't believe he's, I can't do it. Okay. Then it'll definitely be an adventure. You'll need him. All right. So Abraham in faith and obedience, remember the if and then, you need to get moving. Sometimes you just got to get off that bench and just get moving, you know, just kind of shake that leg. You know, you got like a leg, you know, just drag it along, get it moving. Sometimes you got to get it moving to get healthy, right? Start doing something, all right? Do something by faith, especially if you don't feel like it. So he goes through faith and obedience, and he goes to the land of Canaan, and Canaan's in the midst of drama. Anybody ever just notice that God will call you to do hard things? He calls him to Canaan, and it's amidst of a mega drama. Anybody's family, a mega drama? Anybody's life? How about this world? How about the country? How about the government? Mega drama. Okay. And you're not going to go, oh, it's okay. You've been following me for 75 years. Just sit down and just let all the young folk do it. No, he needs you. And he's going to call you in the midst of the drama because you got that gray hair that you know a thing or two, and we need you. All right, so he calls him in the midst of Canaan, and guess what happens to his nephew? Anybody have a nephew that is always just the wrong place at the wrong time, and Uncle Abe needs to go rescue nephew Lot? I'm telling you, anybody, auntie, uncle just has to rescue one of those relatives? All right, so Abraham's doing what he's called to do, and there's this drama between kingdoms, and Lot is always at the wrong place at the wrong time. He's at the wrong bar, and they do a sweep, and now I got to go bail him out again. All right, so Abraham gets his troops of all of his household and his employees and his servants, and he goes, hey, okay, go pick up your weapon. We got to go bail out my nephew again. Everybody's like, again? I was like, oh, his family's family. Okay. So they go bail him out in a huge success, and not only do they rescue Lot back, his nephew, but they kick the tail out of like four different kings or whatever. So what happens when you kick the tail of four different kings that steal your nephew? You get all their stuff. Hey, it's the spoils of war, right? Now this is interesting because I want you to see, you're going to start seeing why God picked Abraham. Because Abraham, it wasn't about the stuff, but he had a lot of stuff. But it wasn't about the stuff. God doesn't want your stuff. He just wants your heart. If he gets your heart, all that I have is his. All that he has is mine. It's just stuff. Right? So he already had stuff. He's a very wealthy man, successful, and he got more. This is great. This is bananas, okay? So in the midst of this drama, he had to go fight some kings. He kicked their tails, right? And then he gets his nephew back, and this other king benefited it. The king of Sodom, that'll come to play some other time, okay? And he goes, hey, thanks for kind of shutting down this war. Here, I'd like to, like, you know, bless you. I'd like to give you some more stuff. And Abraham goes this, hey, you know what? This is just interesting. First of all, what's he do? The very first thing he does after this victory, heart of God. He goes to the kingly priest of Melchizedek, and this is for another week. And out of the abundance of his heart of gratitude, of a victory, and look, I got back my nephew, but all of his family, we didn't lose anything. Wow, it was so, God, you were just in it. Out of the abundance of my heart, I want to worship you and just give 10% of everything that I just got just to you, God. It's a heart. The tithe was not instituted under legalistic law obligation. God don't need your money. It was instituted at a place of worship and gratitude because it's just stuff. I don't care. You just got 20 bucks. Just give it to God. Just give 10%. It's his. Everything I have is his anyway because all the blessings that I have is because God gave me the blessing. And then the king of Sodom's like, okay, hey, I want to bless you. Thank you for kind of bailing me out. And Abraham's response, fascinating. This is what he says.
Genesis 14, 22 through 24. But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, "With raised hand, I have sworn an oath to the Lord, Most High God." He's even worshiping him. He's like preaching God. He's preaching right there. And he goes, "I have raised my hand and sworn an oath to the Lord, Most High God, creator of heaven and earth." This guy's a pagan guy. And he's like, "I'm just going to take an opportunity to tell you how big my God is. That I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or a strap of your sandal. I'm not even taking your shoestring, so that you will never be able to say, 'I made Abraham rich.'" It's interesting. His heart's a worshiper. Out of every victory, battles were rough, drama, whatever, he goes, "I just want to thank you, God, for getting me through this. I'm just going to give you 10% because it's just out of my heart. And you know what? I don't need stuff. You know what? The only person that's blessing me is the Lord, and the blessing just keeps coming." It's just interesting. Okay. So God is so touched in his heart by Abraham's passionate, sacrificial giving, his incredible devotion to the covenant promise. "I trust God. God's got me. God's got me." And it starts overflowing. Remember, it was a really good deal to begin with. But God shows you, like, wow, this is an over-the-top covenant. So this is what happens right after this. Okay, so this is what he tells the king. "It's okay, keep it. God's got me." And he's very well off at this time. So Genesis 15:1, this is Abraham and God. And it says, "After these things," this big victory, this generous giving, this worship, "the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision." This word vision, particularly this word, it's a word that I'll probably mispronounce, mahaz, means vision. Okay, it occurs 4 times in the Old Testament. All right, and in contrast, when other words are translated, we talked about things that get lost in translation, other words are listed for visions and dreams, but this particular word that is used 4 times doesn't just mean God is talking to you from afar. He's sending his word, a message. You know, sometimes he sends an angel, you know, whatever. This actually means, this word vision, that God is showing up and talking to you face to face. Whoa. The word of the Lord came to him in a vision, and he was in the vision. I think he kind of took him to like we're a spirit. We're just contained in a body. I think this was like an out-of-body spiritual experience, okay? This is heavy, right? All right. And the Lord says, "Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." That's the English Standard Version. I love the New King James Version, okay? "I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." So what's he saying? You don't need to be afraid. Oh, by the way, he could be fearing for retaliation. He just kicked a bunch of kingdoms' tails, and normally people come back for revenge, right? Don't be afraid. I'm your wraparound God. I got your front, your back. What? I'm like the bubble shield. I'm a sci-fi person. You can shoot me with all the lasers you want. It's just bouncing off. I got you. And not only am I going to reward your heart, but whoa, I'm your exceedingly mind-blowingly great reward, because in my presence is fullness of joy, peace. I can't put a price. There are billionaires in the world. They got so much money, I don't even know what, I don't know. They might clean their car with that money. Who knows what they do with it? I don't know. Most of them don't have any peace. In fact, it's what drives them for more and more, and greed and pushing people down to get it. That's their money. You can do whatever you want. Clean your car with my money or your money and leave it. That's fine. Do whatever you want, waste it. But they have no peace. God goes, not I'm only going to take care of you, protect you, provide for you. Oh, I am peace. And I will wrap around you and saturate you with peace, love, joy, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and the powerful gifts of them. Just hang out with me. It's a good deal. Genesis 15:2. And Abram said, "O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless? The heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." So right after he just kind of confirmed to him, hey, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm the God of more than enough. My presence is with you. Abraham's just being real. Like, it's good to be real, right? He's a friend of God. He's like, you know, he kind of looks around. I was like, you know, I'm doing good. Got a nice house. I got a couple vehicles. You know, I got a deep freezer and a refrigerator in my garage. You know, doing good. My wife's real hot. She's hot. I mean, she's so good looking. People trying to get, it's wild. Abraham's in a really good place. He goes, but you know, I want a son to just hang out with and go on adventures with. Just that companionship, you know? This is the context for the covenant that Abraham and God are going to do right now. No, he just said this, hey, you're going to be blessed. You're going to have offspring, right? And with you hanging out with me under this umbrella, whoever's hanging out with you is going to be what? Protected, provided for, and blessed. He believes him, but he's like, but how are you going to do it? Because I don't even have a kid. All right? So God takes him to a visual place. And, you know, God will speak to you. He'll speak to you while you're on a hike. He'll speak to you while you're fishing. He'll speak to you while you're at the grocery store. Okay? Genesis 15:5. It says, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. So shall your offspring be. So God sets the record straight. He's like, sometimes you just got to get a picture. God talks to me in pictures, right? And he said this, hey, it's not going to be Eliezer. He's a good guy, but just wait. He's 75. He's been waiting a really long time. Just wait in faith. I got you. And I'm going to give you a natural heir and a bunch of spiritual ones too, but I'm going to give you this heir. This is the substance of faith. He's in the waiting. The substance of faith is you hanging out with him. He is in the waiting with you, okay? Trusting God that he will make good on his promise. Galatians 3:6, this is the New Testament. Abraham, our father of faith. So if your faith is in Jesus, you can look to Father Abraham, okay? All the promises of Father Abraham are mine. That was a really good promise. Okay. Abraham, our father of faith, believed God. The substance of his faith released God's righteousness to him. This is the Passion Translation. Okay? Genesis 15:6. Then Abram believed in, affirmed, trusted in, relied on, remained steadfast to the Lord, says the Amplified. He counted or credited to him righteousness. So Abraham believed God in faith, and that made him right with God. How many people believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for my sins, and I'm just giving him me? I come from a lot of debt. I'm a mess. And he goes, that's a great deal. I get you. I'm just looking for someone to hang out with and transform you in my image. I'll do the hard part. You just hang with me. And if you believe me, it gets credited to your account. Anybody got an account in the red? Don't raise your hand. Anybody, you're like, hey, we're barely making it. He is going to credit your account. He's going to pay your mortgage. He just totally erases your sin debt. Your faith in Jesus credits you, and the substance that you're getting credited with is righteousness. I am right with God. I don't feel right with God. I feel terrible. I feel guilty. I feel like I'm worthless. I don't feel like I have a value. I feel like I'm a mess up. That's what my dad called me my whole life. God doesn't care. Listen, he's not moved by your feelings. He's moved by your faith. If you have faith, he doesn't see you as everyone else calls you, or even as you call yourself. He credits your account with righteousness. I am right with God. So when you go to that ATM in the spirit, I'm right. I'm real right. I'm great. God wants to use me for the greatest adventure of my life. All he's looking for is a heart of faith. It's a good deal. Genesis 15:7. So God, okay, Abraham believes God, right? Because he's seen him like do some miracle stuff. He's seen him do the miracles, right? I believe God. Come on, the consistency, God keeps his word. But your brain ever get a little kind of in the doubt area because you don't know how he's going to do it? I want to know how. I would like to know like the detailed business plan, color-coded, highlighted. Like I want the details, okay? He doesn't know how. So this is just honest. I love his honesty. Okay, Genesis 15:7. The Lord said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to possess. He said, O Lord God, how am I to know I will possess it? How? Everybody just say how. How? So now we're going to get to what I really wanted to get to. We got it. He goes, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go down to the lawyer's office and the notary. No, they didn't have that back then. He said, I want you to prepare a contract. I get you're having a hard time with my handshake agreement and my word. You know, like you believe me, but like you kind of just want something tangible. Come on, someone can promise you their car, but until you get the title deed, you know, it's sometimes hard to trust, you know? So he goes, okay, here's what I got. You want to know the how? Let me do something official. Let me do something very tangible. God gives you tangible things in the Word of God. Communion, anointing oil, laying hands on the sick. He does something tangible. So when you start getting kind of doubt of how you're going to do this, why is this taking so long? Because it takes 15 years to get that kid at 100 years old. You kind of open up your glove box and go, but I got the title deed. Actually, I don't heard you're not supposed to keep it in the glove box. You open up your safe, wherever, okay? And you go, I got the title deed. God's going to make good on it, right? So he says, okay, we're going to get a contract together, a legal binding contract sealed in blood, notarized in blood. All right, faith is the title deed, the unbreakable bond of the things that we hope for in him, okay? There's so much. Thank you, Lord. Here we go. Because God loved Abraham so much, he's trying to speak to Abraham in his terms. Anybody ever have a lawyer talk to you and they're trying to defend you, have your back, and they're like, rah, 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 rah. I have no idea what they're saying. Like, I'll even, like, can you send that in an email? I have no idea what they're saying. My brain's not wired like that. But isn't it great when they talk to you on your terms? So God goes, listen, I'm going to look into your ancient Near Eastern culture, and I've set something up thousands of years before, blood covenant. And I'm going to talk to you in terms that you get and you understand how big of a deal this is and how it is signed in blood and it is foolproof. We're going to cut a blood covenant. So back in the Near Eastern culture, they would take specific animals when there was a treaty to be signed or a covenant practice of two parties coming together, whether it be for business or, you know, whatever. We've covered this in the past. Go ahead and look at my week two in this series. I go into it in depth. All right, so he enters into the culture of Abraham and the covenant practices of Abraham, and he does this. Genesis 15, verse 9. The Lord said to him, bring me a heifer, a goat, a ram, each 3 years old, along with a turtle dove and a young pigeon. So what's he saying? He said, hey, get the paper, get the lawyer, get the notary, get your best pen, get two of them. We're going to sign a legal binding contract, and it's unbreakable. It's foolproof. You just got to sign, right? Get the contract ready. Okay. He is going to reinforce his verbal agreement. So this is a genuine sacrifice for Abraham because all these different animals, how many people know? Have you ever, anybody bought a cow? We like bought a third of one time. Okay, it is not cheap. So think about all this meat and how many people love meat. People are like, you want to go hang out? I said, is there going to be meat there? Like, I'm into it. Like, take me to your barbecue. I'll have salad. It makes me feel better about myself, but I'm there for the meat. Okay, sometimes if I'm not that hungry, I'm just only eating meat, okay? So this is worth a genuine sacrifice of thousands of dollars, right? This is expensive, all right? And Genesis 15, verse 10, and like I said, go back and listen to week 2 because I laid out all the different steps of this process and why it was significant. So Abram brought all these to him, and he knew just what to do because this was the practice of covenant in the day. What do? We talked about it week 2. He split each of them down the middle and laid the halves on opposite sides of each other, opposite sides making a bloody path. Okay, remember we talked about the wedding? That would be really gross, but whatever, at least it's barbecue. I'm into a pig roast. When people are like, what kind of wedding? I was like, well, there'll be meat there. I will be there. Okay, so they cut all these animals and they split them up. And how many people know if you've done your own butchering during deer season? Oh, this is graphic. At least you won't forget it. Blood is pooling into the aisle. And you know how my mom feels about the carpet. Oh, man. I mean, you will not forget this. Listen, how many people love action movies? We watch them. Don't judge us. Stop, you religious people. Brad and I like watching action movies together. We like Schwarzenegger. We invited him to our wedding. We were considering baby names. Seriously. All right? It's gory. It's graphic. It's unforgettable. It holds your attention. Split animals, a pathway of blood. Okay. He's setting them up for The covenant. It's just the lawyer and the notary with a lot of gore, okay? So the ceremony of the covenant back then, go back and listen to week two, two parties, so it would have been God and Abram at that time, right, would walk through the sloshy, sticky, dirty, grimy, bloody pathway together towards each other, okay? And then they would say that, you know, if we don't uphold this covenant, they'd walk towards each other, blood all over their boots and their shoes. And if we don't uphold this covenant, may we become like the dead animals around us. May we be torn apart and split in two. You know, the men, like the eagle, I'll die if I break my covenant with you. Ah, you know, Rambo. Okay, it's a bloody, gory, unforgettable thing. I just like doing things with religious people. Ah, you know, come on. All right. And then he waited. So he got to butchering, and he waited. How many people are in the waiting with God? He's in the waiting with you. He is the substance of faith. He is with you. But he's waiting, and obviously he's waiting a long time. Anybody waited a long time? I am the caboose of cabooses with all my friends. I am the last of the last of the last, okay? But God is faithful. And in the waiting, I was getting doubtful. I was getting antsy. I was starting to sweat a little bit, but he's in the waiting. So obviously God's taking his time, but remember, the vision means God's showing up. And Abraham's waiting for God to show up and go through the bloody pathway. What's happening in the meantime? I mean, the blood's really pouring out. It's soaking up in the grass and the dirt. It's starting to smell. And the vultures come. In your waiting, Satan will come after you in your thoughts, won't he? Remember the birds that come to steal the word? And what does Abraham do? It says this, Genesis 15:11. The birds of prey descended on the carcasses. It takes a while for them to kind of smell the blood, right? In the waiting, Satan kind of just comes after it, right? He wants to steal your worship. He wants to steal your faith. He wants to steal your mental health. He just wants to distract you. And you're going to have to fight. Brother Hagin said this, you can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep him from building a nest in your hair. Take your thoughts captive. Okay? The waiting, it takes a while. It took so long. Anybody been waiting for someone? Maybe waiting to pick them up? You're sitting out in the car and you fell asleep, okay? That's what happened to Abraham. Verse 12, the sun was setting and Abraham fell into a deep sleep. I mean, deep sleep. And suddenly with great terror and darkness overwhelmed him. So this dream is just not any dream. This is almost like an out-of-body spiritual experience, right? Okay? And this is wild. He gets a prophetic dream showing him the things to come, not only for himself, but for his descendants, his family, his bloodline. This is, and we'll talk about it later because I love preaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, a prophetic word of wisdom, something that's going to happen in the future. And it's to bring what 1 Corinthians 14:3 is to bring comfort, strength, and encouragement, right? Okay. I want to know when the going's going to get tough, but I want to know that God's not going to quit and we're going to get to it on the other side. So don't be afraid of hard things, okay? Genesis 15, 13 through 16, message. God said to Abram, know this, your descendants will live as outsiders in a land not theirs. They'll be enslaved and beaten down for 400 years. He is prophesying about the enslavement in Egypt. No one wants to see their children enslaved. That is the most horrific. There is no time to expound upon the horrors of what's going to happen to some of his great-great-grandkids, right? And he says, but hey, he's a God of justice, right? He says, but then I'll punish their slave masters, okay? And your offspring will march out of there loaded with plunder. All right, vindication, justice. But not you. You'll have a long, full life and die a good, peaceful death. All right, so there's a little comfort there. And not until the fourth generation will your descendants return here. All right, so he's prophesying, okay, you know what? It's going to be good with you because you're going to stick with me. But how many people know your kids don't always follow you in your faith? So that's another story we can open up to. So they kind of went wayward, and you know, there's truth and there's consequences, but God goes, don't worry, I got them. I'm going to protect them,
I'm going to get them out of there. I'm going to bring justice, and I'm going to bless their socks off. So when the going gets tough, tell them to go read your journal, the Bible, and hang in there. God's got you. All right. Genesis 15, 13 through 16. And when the sun had set and darkness had fallen, behold, a smoking fire pot, a flaming torch appeared and passed between the halves of the carcasses. So smoke and fire in the Bible represented the manifest presence of God. I can give you a ton of scriptures. Go back and read it, right? Smoke and fire showed up. It was the tangible presence of God. Remember the burning bush? Remember the pillar of fire? Remember Mount Sinai? Smoke, fire, God's there. All right. Now here is the crux of the whole sermon. So don't leave till noon. The significance that God was only the one that was walking the path of blood. Here's the whole point of the whole sermon right now. He was the only one walking the path. Remember in their culture, two people walked the path. Two people invoked a curse on themselves if it was broken. Two. The only one walking the path of blood is God. And Abraham's watching him. And he's like, whoa, 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 wait. I'm supposed to sign with you. Here's the kind of parent that our Father God is. He rips the pen out of his hand, almost saying, over my dead body. Said, it's not if, but it's when. This covenant's going to get broken by your kids. They're going to mess up. And I don't want you to take the curse on you. I'll take the curse on me. Do you hear his heart as a parent? He knows. He even prophesied, your kids are going to really mess this up. It's such a good deal. It's such a good deal. Sometimes those blessings, you know, you get a little spoiled in the blessings. It's such a good deal. And I know, Abraham, you're with me. It's not if, it's when. They're going to mess up. But I'll take the curse on me. I'll die for them to restore the blessing to you, to your natural kids, and to your spiritual kids. Prove it, right? Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on that tree, the cross. New Living Translation says, but Christ rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. And when he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. Jesus literally became the curse. This is, remember I talked about the scarlet cord? This is God's heart that is woven throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. He goes, I know you're going to mess up. I know you're not going to be perfect. I know you're going to blow it. But don't worry. I got plans within plans within plans. I got covenants within covenants within covenants to bring your heart back to me because I just want your heart. I want to hang out with you. And I'm going to set you free from all that sin debt. All that I have is yours. And all that you have is mine. I'll take the debt. I'll take the curse. He loved him so much, he wouldn't even let him sign for it. You ever sign for your kid for something they don't deserve, but it's your heart? And you know they're going to mess up and you're probably going to be paying that loan. God went, I got it. I got a plan within a plan within a plan. I myself will die for you to restore the blessing. And the greatest blessing is his presence. And it's all that other stuff too. All right, closing thoughts. Faith, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of the things we hope for, the divine guarantee, the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of the reality. Faith comprehends as fact what we cannot experience by our physical senses. He was getting in his head and he goes, that's okay. We're going to go down to the notary and we're going to sign this thing in blood in a way you'll never forget. Genesis 15:18, and on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham and their descendants, and we benefit from that covenant. Here's my scripture, and we're done. If you belong to Christ, Galatians 3:29, if you belong to Christ, raise your hand if you belong to Christ. My faith is in him. You are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, so that wildly good promise is yours.
Galatians 3, 6-9. Just as Abraham believed God, it was counted to him as righteousness. Know that it is those of faith, raise your hand if your faith is in Jesus, who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles, all us non-Jews, by the faith, preaching the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed, and those who are faith are blessed along with Abraham, man of faith. Stand up. Father Abraham had many sons. And you remember that song? Guys, it's a wildly good deal, so just receive it. He just grabbed the pen out of your hand. You're only required to keep your switch of faith on. Amen. Lord God, we love you, and I thank you for a revelation of your blood covenant. I thank you for your revelation of the blessing that we have in you. And Lord, that it would not be in vain that you did this. Jesus, Isaiah 53 says that you were torn apart like those carcasses. You were beaten beyond human recognition. You were lashed on your back for our sins, our shortcomings, our debts, so it could be paid in full. I put my faith in you, Jesus, and I fight those birds, the vultures, the thoughts that makes me doubt. I put my faith in you because you are good to fulfill your word. You are faithful. This is a foolproof covenant, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 12 o'clock, what? I love you guys. Go out to lunch with someone. Get to know someone.